you have to try this.
Okay, just a bite.
Hey everyone, welcome to Social Takeout, small bites of social discussion. I'm Sarai.
And I'm Jeremy. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please take a moment to give us 5 stars and check out our various social media pages. So there's like, we have on Instagram, we're on TikTok, we're on Facebook. You can just find us, just type us, type Hello Social Takeout.
Absolutely. Okay, so we have some pretty fun and interesting things planned for our Patreon, and our first standalone Patreon episode is scheduled for mid-April, and it's titled Why... Let's see, what is the title? It's Why I Won't Call Myself a Slut. So it's an extended look at slut shaming, which is something we covered in episode 17. So look forward to that. And we are planning a Zoom Cards Against Humanity party.
Oh, Lord.
I know. With my mom, my ex, and our really good friend, Holden. So if you want to hear that upcoming deep dive episode or join us for Cards Against Humanity, please, God. Just kind of like...
I don't feel like your mom and your ex have been a lot of the characters we've been talking about in the podcast. So if you really want to come listen to them in person.
Absolutely.
Check it out.
So you can join our Patreon for $5 a month. Okay. So today we're talking about homelessness, which is another massive, multifaceted global problem with aspects ranging from the working poor, veterans, mental health, and homelessness.
Yeah, to family homelessness, illnesses, and financial ruin leading to homelessness, youth homelessness, and of course, LGBTQ plus youth as well. Now, we're going to be talking about who is most at risk of being homeless, and we'll focus mostly on homelessness in North America.
And probably a little sprinkle of Berlin homelessness in there as well.
Yeah.
And one of us has personal experiences with being homeless.
Dun, dun, dun.
But we'll reveal which one of us that is a little later. Okay. So to start off, what is the actual legal definition of homelessness? We kind of looked at a bunch of different definitions and mushed them all together for you. So an individual who lacks a fixed, regular, and adequate nighttime residence, or
an individual who has a primary nighttime residence that is supervised or publicly operated like a shelter or a public space not designed for sleeping accommodations for human beings.
There's this subway station near me, and it's kind of like a raised platform. So there's an underneath part, kind of like a bridge.
Which subway is this?
Hollisch's Tor.
Okay.
Yeah. And across from the entrance to the subway station, there's this tent and mattress and like living room setup someone who's living there has, you know, put together.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
So we're going to get into our feelings and our reactions to homelessness later on in the episode. Let's get like the facts out of the way. What are some causes of homelessness?
So the first thing that jumps is lack of sufficient low-income housing. For example, you've lived in New York.
Yes, yes.
I've lived in Toronto. Oh, I don't know a person who has like a minimum wage job, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Not like a person who doesn't have a job, or just even a regular job. Like you're making, say, $40,000 a year. I don't even know how they can survive in a place like that.
Yeah, it's almost impossible.
It's almost impossible. And that also means that sometimes you need to find roommates if you actually have to, you know, be able to survive.
Maybe listen to our roommates episode.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's a whole nother can of worms. Maybe you have kids, like you need space. Like, oh my God, I can't even imagine. So that's my first thing that jumps into you.
Something that comes into my mind is Reaganomics. So part of this is called the deinstitutionalization movement from the 1950s onwards in state mental health systems to shift towards like community-based treatment of the mentally ill as opposed to long-term commitment in institutions. But then the good old Republicans didn't actually fund any of these community-based treatment plans or centers. So in California especially, the people in these places who were there for long-term institutionalization were just released on the street.
My God.
Yeah.
Another one that actually comes into my head is like gentrification, like mm-hmm. areas completely being like bulldozed down and culture being taken off. That's another whole conversation. Like this is, okay, Toronto is like the poster child for this. So there were communities that were actually existing in Toronto forever. They were actually low income households as well. Mm-hmm. And now they're building these massive, ugly condos everywhere. So they're basically moving these people towards particular areas, especially mostly as people of color.
Yeah.
And they are going towards areas that are probably just way too dense for it. And because of that, sometimes crime is higher in those areas. And those are like lower household incomes. I don't know if I'm explaining it correctly. So the places that mm-hmm. actually used to be what Toronto's essence was, which is a very multicultural sort of place. Yeah. Now these big corporations are coming and building these buildings and corporations in these areas by moving these people towards other sides. And it disproportionately affects people of color.
Yeah.
And I mean, those are the horrible areas as well. People that sort of like avoid, there's a lot of crime. And if they want to get back into the places where their ancestors were living in.
You can't.
You can't.
Yeah. I mean, just thinking about my hometown, Pasadena, I grew up in the Black area of Pasadena. It was very nice. It was just a lot of Black people. It's going through gentrification now. Like when I was growing up there, not one coffee shop. Now it's coffee shops everywhere. There are white people everywhere. It's really weird to see. And it's a historically Black area of the city that is not anymore. There are no more Black people except my mom. and even, yeah, I mean, that's a whole topic episode in and of itself. But another item on this list is nearly half of foster children in the United States become homeless when they're released from foster care at the age of 18.
That's so fucking sad.
It's really, really sad. There was this story I read about a few years ago of this boy. He was mixed, so Black and white, and he was 17. He was in the foster care system, and he was being interviewed on the news just like begging someone to adopt him just so like he wouldn't be homeless and like he could have a sense of belonging. And you know, 10 years ago, like I was not I was barely an adult, but I was like, can we please adopt him? You know,
it's really sad, like especially when it comes to foster children. Actually, like we also talk about LGBTQ kids a little later, but it's sad because they're becoming homeless because sometimes they just born into that situation, and it's really sad. You want to help all of them.
Like there's, they haven't done anything wrong. There's just no support for them. Yeah.
Kids do. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we know that there are endless causes for homelessness. Check out a wiki page for a full list of causes. And are there different types of homelessness? That's a question that we actually wanted to discuss as well. Mm-hmm. Homelessness can be broken down into four categories: chronic or absolute homelessness, episodic, transitional, and hidden or concealed homelessness. And some would say there's a fifth group as well, and that is the people who are at risk of becoming homeless. And this group is important because a majority of people who become homeless started off being inadequately housed.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. So the chronically homeless are described as either an individual who has been continuously homeless for a year or more, or has had a minimum of 4 episodes of homelessness in the previous 3 years. And based on the most recent data, on any given night in the United States, there are roughly 87,000 chronically homeless people in the US. That's a lot.
That's a lot, yeah.
You know, and so that's just people who've been living on the streets for more than a year. Right.
Wow.
That's a lot.
Don't you think there's more though?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the US, like, I'm like, that's got to be more. I think those are the only ones in account. You know what I mean? Like they're accounted for.
Well, so those are the ones who are chronic homelessness, which is, you know, like we said, more than a year on the street. Okay. Yeah. So episodic homelessness refers to individuals who are currently homeless and have experienced at least 3 periods of homelessness in the previous year. These individuals are often younger and suffer from some type of disabling condition, such as a substance abuse, mental illness, and or medical problems. And so the numbers for those people are... So one of the things that I found in doing the research for this is that it's hard to count homeless people, right? Mm-hmm. There's no residents to like call them up and be like, hey,
yeah,
how many of you guys are in that tent? you know, and we're going to see like with hidden homelessness, like you just can't count these people. You know, mm-hmm. they're not in any statistics. So I really think the numbers for homelessness are astronomical in the U.S.
Yeah, for sure. There's also transitional homelessness, and transitional homelessness is actually the most common type of homelessness. These individuals are also likely to be younger and generally enter a shelter or temporary housing system for only one brief stay. This situation could be the result of catastrophic events or a sudden life change. And I think LGBTQ plus youth, which we are going to go into detail more in later, would fit into this type of homelessness as well. But it is very easy and likely that they could slip into being chronically homeless as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you want to say more about the LGBTQ homelessness now?
Yeah, sure. So like we said, transitional homelessness is normally what LGBTQ youth actually fall into. And a large percentage of homeless demographics in the US is the LGBTQ youth as well. So like a disproportionate number of homeless youth in the US are LGBTQ, basically. The reason because of that is there's a whole study done on this where they say 40% of the 1.6 million youth, according to a study done by the True Colors Fund, identify as LGBTQ. Hmm. And the interesting part here is that LGBTQ folk only make up about 7% of the total youth population.
Right.
Does that make sense? Yeah. So, and 40% of that whole homeless youth population is LGBTQ. This is a fucking staggering number.
Yeah. That's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's so many reasons for it as well. Do you have any idea what the reasons could be as an ally? Why an LGBTQ person would be homeless?
I could give you like the common tropes that you see on TV, and that would be like your parents react badly to finding out you're gay and they kick you out.
Yep.
Maybe mental health.
It could be mental health as well.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. Because so what they normally say is like family conflict is the most common cause of all youth homelessness. Hmm. And for LGBTQ youth in particular, the family conflict tends to be over their sexual orientation or gender identity, which is kind of exactly, you hit the nail on the head. And while rejection is the most common reason LGBTQ youth experience homelessness, it's not the only one. Additional reasons include like all the other stuff, which is like aging out of the foster care system and poverty and conflict in the home. And often it's not just one thing. It's like a combination of many things at the same time.
Yeah, I could imagine, especially like just knowing how angsty and emotional I was as a teenager, like, and I didn't have any of the added, you know, not pressure, but like feelings, I guess, of being gay. So
they,
I couldn't imagine. Yeah, true. But like, but they... So they did think I was gay, but they also were like super accepting and like, it's okay, you can come out of the closet. You know, like it wasn't like, we think you're gay and we're sending you to conversion therapy.
Oh God.
You know?
Don't even get me started on that. We got to do an episode on that. Seriously.
Yeah,
conversion therapy. Oh my God. Yeah. All right. So here's an interesting fact. You may have already known this.
Okay.
So now in terms of LGBTQ demographics, the National Alliance to End Homelessness reports that homeless youth are disproportionately African American or American Indian and are often from lower income communities. So, yeah.
Well, that's fucked up.
Why is that?
Why is that? Well, yeah. You know, I don't have anything good to say about Black Church, so.
What?
What?
Church. Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah. You okay, girl?
I was like, church? Oh my God, I just got like a flashlight.
Right? You're having flashbacks. Yeah, no, I sincerely think that a lot of it has to do with like perceived religiousness. Yeah. Which I completely disagree with, you know, but so I'm also not an expert, so I could just talk out of my ass if you want.
Yeah, sure. That's what we do here all the time.
Yeah. So all I can tell you is that my sister's dad, I don't know if he's still alive. I think he is, hates gay people. I really sincerely hope he's come around on this, but like, he hated gay people so much that when I would start talking about gay people or my sister would start talking about gay people. So like my best friend from high school, like we've always known he was gay, but he was trying to hide it. He was like, why don't you date this guy who you're friends with? And I was like, I'm pretty sure he likes other men, like, you know, I'm pretty sure he's gay. And I just remember him getting so flustered that he had to take his heart medication.
Oh my God.
No, just like so upset that my best friend was gay. And so have you seen the Lil Nas X video?
The new one?
Yes.
No. Oh, no, I haven't seen the new one.
What is wrong with you? Oh my God.
I'm stuck on Old Town Road.
Yeah. Well, it's not even about the song. So like, it's about the imagery and like the rejection of like being the model gay person, quote, you know, there's this idea that some gay people have that they want to not push against the societal norms that are put in place that restrict everyone. You know, they want to show that they can fit within those and just be gay. But it's Lil Nas X, right? I'm saying that right? Okay, yes. Thanks. So very clearly with the release of this video, he's saying that he is not interested in fitting in these norms. He wants to just live in a world where he can be his flamboyant self, you know, and I love it. And he literally rides a stripper pole to hell, you know. He's like, well, you told me I'm going to hell, so why don't I go there? And gives
it's the devil, warmer anyways.
He gives the devil a lap dance.
Oh my God, I need to watch this.
And then kills him and takes his horns. So I'm like, this is perfect. It's perfection. It's absolutely perfect. Okay.
It's like pushing. Oh my God. Imagine your sister's dad watched that video.
He might have a heart attack, literally. And, you know.
So, no, but the thing is, I wonder if culture plays into it. I'm sure that religion plays into it because they did say like African-American, American Indian. I'm always confused when they say American Indian. Do they mean like Indian, like the derogatory way of calling the native people?
I mean Native Americans. And a lot of Native Americans prefer Indian because Native
really?
American. Yeah, because Native American is overly broad. Mm. And it's in a way too inclusive. And so when you start including all of these groups as American Indians or Native Americans, there's an interesting conversation that happens with rights to land and all sorts of things. So that could be a whole other conversation, but it's something that I've like researched independently for myself, and it's really interesting.
Because in Canada, you do not say the word Indian. Mm-hmm. It's quite interesting. Like, because every time we actually, okay, this is a whole different topic, but we'll get to that at some point. But if it was like American Indian, as in like East Indians, Indians, I can completely understand this because my dad to this day, like he thinks like gay is like a Western concept. Mm-hmm. It does not exist in their culture.
Has
sort
he
of
read
thing.
Any Hindu religious texts?
He doesn't read.
Okay. All right.
Period. But that's another thing too. Like a lot of people, even if they've read it, whatever, but mm-hmm. they also feel like this is a Western concept. And this is not just to India. I do think a lot of people, especially Asian cultures, feel that, oh, they're trying to fit into this Western idea. So then now that he has a boyfriend. Because yeah. Elton John has a boyfriend, so a okay. husband, whatever. That yeah. sort of mentality still exists. And they sort of bring that into North America as well. And when the kids start coming out, because they're not comfortable, they're living in a place that allowed legally to be gay, they get kicked out or thrown out of home or sent back to India. That's another thing too. Like because yeah. if they don't have a citizenship, there's like a PR, they have a lot of control over the kids and things like that. So yeah, that is another thing too. Speaking of, did you talk about your experiences?
Well, I'm trying to get to the fourth type of homelessness, but you keep talking.
Yeah. I love talking.
All right. So there is a fourth type of homelessness. We mentioned it. And it often goes unreported and undocumented, and that is hidden homelessness. Mm. This specifically refers to individuals temporarily living with others without a guarantee that they will be able to stay there long term and without immediate prospects for acquiring permanent housing. So this often describes people staying with friends or relatives because they lack other housing opportunities. And this population is considered hidden because they don't access homeless support and services despite their need for them. And for this reason, they don't appear in any standard homelessness statistics. Yeah, it's a huge problem. And here we are. This is the type of homelessness I experienced.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can you explain more like how you got homeless?
Yeah, sure. So where to start? I decided I wanted a divorce and I left my husband immediately because I was super unhappy. And I was trying to wait until I could, rent a room or a place or something. But because the way our relationship was set up, I needed to pay for half of everything. And that took all of my money every single month. So I just left, you know, I had to, and I didn't have anywhere else to go. So I slept in my car for a few days. And then one of my friends was like, well, of course you can come stay with me and my family. And they had like this huge house. And so I had her guest room and guest bathroom. And so like at that time, I basically needed some place to stay for a month. And then I was doing a summer program, which had housing included. So I stayed with her for a month and then went to this program for, I think, 8 or 10 weeks. But then they were going to, you know, they bought me a ticket back to my, quote, home, which was, you know, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, New York area. And I was like, oh, I don't actually have anywhere to stay once I get there. Can I stay with you again? So I stayed with her for another month after the program, but and I don't want to sound ungrateful because it was like the other option was sleeping in my car. So and I love this person, like she's family at this point. But you know, like there's a difference between visiting someone and living with them, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I was privy to like all sorts of arguments and like family drama, and it's just like there was very much a feeling that, okay, I cannot stay here forever, obviously, and I need to make sure that I can leave in an amount of time that will keep our friendship intact, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, keep me moving in with all sorts of horrible roommates, you know, like just
that's how it started.
Yeah. In an effort to like get out of there quicker so that like this person and I could remain friends. So like I didn't overstay my welcome, you know?
Yeah. And that's a thing too. So, so you would you say you were couch surfing? No, it's not really a couch. I mean, it falls under that umbrella.
Yeah, it definitely falls under that sort of term. Or that genre, because it's like, if someone in her family had come to stay or visit, I would have, you know, gotten to the basement to sleep on her, on the couch down there, you know? So it very much is this feeling of like, this is temporary. You're just sleeping on these people's houses. And it wasn't like anything that they did that made me feel that way. It's just, I think that is the natural feeling when you're staying with someone else, you know, as comfortable as you are with them, that's not your space. That's not your home. Like, you know, you can't stay there forever.
Exactly. Especially if you have a sense of pride, for example, or sense of space.
Yeah. Have you met me?
It's really difficult to actually sort of live with someone and be like, oh, I'm just temporarily here. Thanks for helping me, for knock on wood. Oh my God, I can't find fucking wood.
Hilarious. Yeah,
concrete. But it hasn't happened to me yet. So when I actually was moving between apartments, I stayed with my parents for a couple of weeks. Would that be considered homeless? No.
Not really. Maybe that's that sort of transitional homelessness, but not even really. Like, it's just you're staying somewhere until your place is ready, I guess.
Exactly. Yeah. So I've not really experienced that yet. So, but I can't even imagine, my God, let's not
hope,
having a space.
Let's hope never.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, what are the things you excluded from, like, when you were during this homeless period? Like, was it easy for you to like get jobs? Like, what address do you put?
Well, so I was really lucky because I had this like part-time minimum wage job before I left for the summer program, and they held my job for me. And so I had it when I got back. And so I was able to like work that month and save some money. But if I hadn't had a job already, like, it would have been really fucking hard to find one, you know, even like a part-time minimum wage bullshit job. Because it's like, so I'm staying with someone, but I'm not setting up residency at their house. Do you know what I mean? Like, their address isn't on my driver's license and I can't start receiving mail there. It's like, technically I could, but that's a whole nother conversation that you need to have with them.
Yeah, I know. That's like getting into awkward seas.
Yes. Right. And so like, you certainly can't do that from living in your car, you know?
Yeah.
So that's one thing that would have been really stressful, is finding work. But there's actually a video in our reference materials, and it's a man who is homeless, and he's talking to other potentially homeless people, telling them like, what are the best things to have? And like, where can you park? And, you know, just like best practices.
Like a van life?
Yeah, but what,
you know what? This is probably because I've never done it, but I've always sort of like wanted to do it too at the same time. It's almost like homelessness is actually being glorified now.
It isn't. When I say that sleeping in my car those couple of days were some of the scariest experiences I've had.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not.
Oh my God, especially as a woman.
Yeah. But so in this video, he's saying like the best thing you can do is spend some of your money for a gym membership. Planet Fitness in the US is $10 a month. You can go there and have a shower and use the toilet, and it's open 24 hours. Mm-hmm. You know, what was another thing he said? I'm trying to remember. He just had other advice of like different stores that you can park in their parking lot overnight because they're 24 hours. But
like Walmart and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. But homeless people are like routinely excluded from having bank accounts because, you know what? Like, you need to have an address. You need to have a phone. You can't walk into the bank actually looking homeless. They will call the police on you. Jobs, we talked about that one. School, there was a woman who was homeless. Oh, another thing we didn't talk about is family homelessness. So there are whole families are just homeless. So she and her kids were homeless, and she registered her kid in the school district where they were sleeping in their car or like sleeping under a bridge or something. Like, I'm not being funny, seriously, sleeping under a bridge. She was arrested because they said it was fraud that she was sending her kid to the wrong school district. And I'm like, brah, she's homeless. Like, what? And they're like, well, it needs to go by what's on her driver's license. And it's like, there are so many things in place to just keep homeless people homeless and to keep them from accessing amenities and help. I don't even know what to even say about that. I read it and it was just like, this makes me want to cry.
It's a really sad situation because sometimes it can be like a cycle that you're just stuck in. Mm-hmm. Because homelessness, I think, okay, maybe we can talk about this on the Patreon, like what we feel about homelessness and like what we think about when we see a homeless. Because I've heard some bullshit answers from people like they're just wanting to be homeless because they are just wanting to be homeless, like sort of idea. Like,
yeah, that's they really want to get.
Yeah,
it's exactly. Nonsense. So
there's so many facets to it.
Yeah. Let's switch to our Patreon and we're going to talk about like what goes through our mind when we see a homeless person and has that changed, you know, as we've gotten older. Because for me, it certainly has.
Yeah, for me too. Definitely has. All right. So thank you for listening to us today, guys.
Yeah, thank you, everyone. Go check out our social media, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, all of them.
Yeah, and if you can actually afford to, you know, pay $5 a month, please come check us out on Patreon as well.
Yeah, please, please save me from this Cards Against Humanity Zoom party. Like, oh, just my ex and my mom.
I know. Have they ever met each other?
No, oh, they haven't. Oh, it's not perfect.
Yes, it's perfect.
All right.
We are going to switch there now. Thank you so much for joining today. Okay.
Bye.